Sunday school class? Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by the schedule. The Lord will bless you for it. He most certainly will.
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through away.
He's going to take care of us. I'll bet my very life on it. I bet He's going to. I bet He will. Yeah. No use me and the Lord both worrying about it. Brother Dave, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and they came from God and not from man. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. We quit here around verse 4. Brother Dave already prayed it. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, hey, he's still coming. He's still coming back. Brother Dave prayed about that. He's still coming back. Let's go back to John 10 here for just a minute. In John 10, verse 11, it says, I'm the good shepherd. Verse 12 says, I'm the good shepherd. Could we agree that he's the good shepherd? Psalm 22 already told us about it. It was predicting the good shepherd of the past and all he did for us in the past, Mount Calvary and all that, all the miracles and everything he's done for us in the past. And then in Hebrews 13:20, it tells us about the great shepherd of the present. And that was reflected back in Psalm 23. And he's the great shepherd of the present. You need something right now, and he'll help you right now. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And now we're in Peter, and we see the chief shepherd. It's reflected back in Psalm 24, talking about the chief shepherd of the future. And he's still coming back. He's still the shepherd. And here in these verses, he's got some rules for the sheep. Starts off here in verse 5. It says humility is required. If you remember, we picked that up at the cross. When I come by the cross and realize how big he is, how great he is, and I'm a piece of dung, a piece of dust, worth nothing, and I see like Isaiah said, I see him high and holy and lifted up. Amen. And that ought to give me a little bit of humility right there. When I take off the old coat and put on the new. Let me read all of 4 again there. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. It's when we get our glorified body we're learning about on Wednesday night. And we go to glory. We'll go to a town, a country named Glory. We'll go get our glorified body that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Right. That's a requirement, but it's reasonable. It's only reasonable when I think about who He is and who I am. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And then humility is rewarded. In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's not time yet. We'll get glory later. We're going to get the glory later. We're learning about it on Wednesday night. And then it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There we are again. It's for you, for you, for you, for you. That's what we've been learning. And then verse 8, starting on our new part, that's review, really. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, Pastor Joe Sechrist, he told me one time, he said, don't ever study the devil. You're going to do a study, don't do it on the devil. I heard Trista did a study the other night there. And I never questioned that. I just did what he said. For one reason, I'm not interested in it. I don't want to give him the time of day. If I have to write his name, I use a small D like it is right here. And I don't want to know anything about it. But I will tell you this. I went ahead and checked out this line here a little bit. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice it's a roaring lion, and we're supposed to watch. We're supposed to watch that the lion don't overtake us. And then in verse 8. Verse 9 We're warring with the roaring lion. Now try saying that 10 times real fast. Warring with the roaring lion, you'll end up talking like Elmer Fudd if you keep that up. And then it says, whom resist? That's going to be one way I'm going to war with the roaring lion. I'm going to resist him. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, trusting God to help me, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then in verse 10, we see winning over the roaring lion. And that's going to be good. It's because the Lord's going to help us. We'll see here in a minute. We can't do it, but He can. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, and I don't want to get too far ahead here, but it's the grace that's going to do it. We saw it back in verse 5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Down in verse 12, right at the end, talks about the true grace of God. And it's grace. It's going to be grace when we win. We didn't do anything. It's going to be grace when we win. It's going to be something He did. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. We've got two big things going for us here. We've got grace and glory. Grace and glory. And again, we're learning about this glory on Wednesday night. I believe I'd come on out and learn about it. The glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Anybody want to get in on that? Establish, get stable, strengthen, and settle you. So that's what's going to happen in the future. Let's look at that line here for a minute. It's a little L line up in verse 8, a roaring lion. Let me just go ahead and tell you, first of all, lions are fierce. They're fierce. The male lion weigh up to 500 pounds. 500 pounds. That's two of these he-men in here added together. That's like Shane and Tyler added together. They're not here, so I'll use them. And let me just go ahead and tell you, you can't whip them. You can't whip both of them. And you can't whip this lion. It's 500 pounds. Three and a half foot tall, 9 foot long with the tail, maybe 7 foot. I mean, he can dunk. He can reach the top of the bank board. Yeah. Just standing on his back feet. I'm telling you, he's fierce. He's fierce. You don't want to go up against him by yourself. You want some help. Now, the lion's coat is ideal for hiding. Yeah. He had a necktie in there, he can hide out in the congregation. Yeah. Brother Rick, I thought we was talking about lions. Well, we was. We was, but we'll see here in a minute. Just stick with me. I'm not too far off. The church, we read it not too long ago. We're going to read it again. Ezekiel 30:33. The church is made up of saved and lost people. Talking about the local church right here that you can see. I'm not talking about the bride of Christ. I'm talking about the local church is made up of saved and lost people. Brother Rick, yeah, I know, because I was in one for 20 years and I was lost. I went pretty regular. The church is made up, it's a mixture of saved and lost people.
Right.
Ezekiel 33:30. Also thou son of man, here's some private criticism going on. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee. By the walls and in the doors of the houses, speak one to another. It's a home Bible study going on right here. Every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear my words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. This is public pretending. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Enchanted, but unchanged. Brother Teddy says we need changed. These are unchanged. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Well, these lions are fierce, and even though their claws and their teeth are almost a study in their self, that's not what they use to kill. They come up from behind like on a zebra, and they're so strong, with one swipe, they break their neck. That's what kills them. Then he uses the teeth and the claws. And the Bible's so amazing. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." A lion walks 5 miles a day. If he's very hungry, he walks 15. Just like the Bible says. Lions must kill to live. They devour just like the Bible says. Just like the Bible says. Ezekiel 19. Starting in verse 1. "Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother, a lioness? She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was taken in their pit, and they brought him with the chains unto the land of Egypt. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions, and he became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men." What the Bible says, chapter 22, 25. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring," you know, like where the versions match each other. "There's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof." Talking about the lion. Now, lions prefer large prey. You know, like televangelists. But they'll eat anything. They'll also eat a rabbit. They'd rather have a zebra, but they'll eat a rabbit. They must surprise their prey by stalking and creeping. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3:6. For of this sort are they which creep. I'm talking about Bible creeps. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Whelps. Lions hunt at night to surprise. Many times when I read about a tragedy in the newspaper or hear about it on the news, I just notice it happened at night. The tragedy didn't happen to you because you weren't out roaming around at night. And then I notice many times it happens on Sunday. It didn't happen to you because you was in church. John 3:19. There's lions roaming about seeking who he may devour. John 3:19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I want to tell you, there's a lion out there at night, and he's set on devouring you runs around. If you're not coon hunting. Anyway. Now, most people would rather photograph a lion than shoot them. But a trainer must remember, young lions are real easy to train. But a trainer must remember that lions are never completely tame and are liable to attack and even kill their trainer. Therefore, lions are always and forever potentially dangerous and cannot be kept in the home. Saying.
That's good.
Just saying. I wouldn't keep any in the home. Isaiah 31. Verse 4. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me. I just want to go ahead and tell you, there's another lion. His name's the Lord. Matter of fact, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to come into play here. You keep him in the home. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice or abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the capital Lord, the big Lord of hosts, come down to fight for Mount Zion, for the hill thereof. You can count on him. Now that roaring lion, he's not afraid of all shepherds added together. But he's afraid of the shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the main shepherd. He's scared of him. He knows he can whip him, but not the little shepherds. Not all of them added together can't do it. The lion of the tribe of Judah is who we need to rely on. We've been saying it all morning, really. 1 Kings 13. Verse 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God. Now, I try not to even use that phrase, and here's why. This man of God was disobedient. And it doesn't really say unto the Lord. It says unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. It's the big Lord. This is the lion. 1 Samuel 17. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. See, David got a hold of that humility. He knew he didn't do it himself.
Right.
It's what Brother Rick needs to get a hold of. And know that that lion is fierce. He's 500 pounds. There's no way I can whip him. I need to depend on the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what David did. David said, moreover, the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord that delivered me. Past tense, have you been delivered? Out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Psalm 91. Now, you could read this whole psalm at home sometime. I tried to narrow it down here for time. Psalm 91, starting in verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Let me ask you, where do you live? A lot of times you meet someone and I say, where do you live? See, I need to live in the Lord. Let me ask you again, are you reading the Bible every day? Are you praying every day? That's how I'm going to live in the Lord. That's how He's going to help me. Because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation. Because you live in Him. He's everything. There is no evil. There shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We're talking about winning over the roaring lion. Warring with the roaring lion and winning over him. It's through the Lord. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Don't forget that angel right there. We'll come back to that. They, the angels, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under her feet. We're going to do it just like David did it when he relied on the Lord. That's how we're going to win over the roaring lion, is by trusting God, by relying on God. Let's look at it in Romans. He's going to let us help. He's going to let us help, but he's the one that does it. Romans 16. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He's going to let us get in on it. We're going to stomp his guts out. But it won't be us. We can't do it. He's 500 pounds. We can't do it. But he's going to let us. He's going to let us do that. We're talking about warring against the roaring lion. 2 Timothy 4. Timothy knew it. He knew where the power was. 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. Notwithstanding the Lord, the lion, stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, the little L lion. And the big L, Lord lion, shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Unto, it doesn't say until, unto his heavenly kingdom. That's who's going to deliver us. That's who is delivering us. That's who's going to deliver us. He's bigger than the lion. He's bigger than 500 pounds. He can whip him with one hand behind his back. He can whip him with his eyes. Matter of fact, he already has. Already has. Revelation 5. 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one you can take home with you, the one you can keep in the home, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed, past tense, to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel. Remember in the Old Testament, before the age of grace, the angel of the Lord, that was the Lord Jesus showed up. The angel of the Lord, that was one of his names. This is after the age of grace. I mean, this might be an almighty angel. It's a mighty angel, might be almighty. Might be him again. We done went into the future in chapter 4. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. It sounded like he's big to me. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. We could read chapter 1 there. There's a lot of similarities. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. I'm talking about he made the earth, he made the sea. He's in charge. He's the creator of both of them. He's the authority over the earth and the sea. Talking about he's big. One foot on the sea and one on the earth, that's pretty big. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that there are therein, the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Either way, whether that's the Lord or whether he sent an angel, it's the Lord doing it. When we get delivered, it's the Lord. Whether he sends an angel or whether he's doing it, we get delivered. This line of the tribe of Judah, his aspect is noble. His gait is stately. His roar is tremendous. His appearance is royal. He's big. He's powerful. He's the most famous. It'd be okay to study him. Go ahead and study the line of the tribe of Judah. You'll be all right. Brother Joe won't mind. Now, there's a Lions Club. I didn't know anything about it until I was checking this out. When you come into almost every town, there's a little plaque there that says there's a Lions Club here. Lions Club do community service for the blind and the deaf. You remember when you saw the light? You remember when you were blind? Remember when you had ears and couldn't hear? Lions Clubs also aid disaster victims and the poor. You know, like taking up a special offering for Kenya. Something like that. It could be Mountain State Baptist Church line of the Tribe of Judah Club. We'll get some t-shirts that say MSBCLTJ Club. You might have a Lions Club going on right here. The first time he came as a lamb. The next time he's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The first time men ask, where is he that's born king of the Jews? The next time he's coming as king of kings. Not king of the jungle, king of kings, yes, and Lord of lords. Yes. That's when he comes the next time. Hey, he's still coming. He's still coming. Back to 1 Peter 5. Now, this all happens by grace, like we said there in verse 10, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, it's grace and glory. Now, everything's grace. It's grace that we're going to miss hell. That's grace. But it's grace you had air in your tires this morning. It's grace that you had gas in the tank and coffee in the cup. That's all grace. It's grace he don't take his oxygen and go home. It's all grace.
Yeah, that's right.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. It's for those that's saved and sanctified. We've been learning about it on Wednesday night. This is going to happen to you right here. Maybe already happened. After you suffered a while, you're going to be made perfect, established, and strengthened. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, the Caesars and old Nero, they had glory and dominion for a few minutes, a year or two. But the Lord has glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Talking about the big line, the line of the tribe of Judah. Verse 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Not regular old grace now. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Brother Clark was telling me this morning, just go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Now, 1 Peter starts off here in chapter 1 with grace. At the end, 1 Peter 1, 2, at the end of it, it says, grace be Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In the verses 3 through 5, it's the true grace of God that gives us an incorruptible inheritance. We won't be able to read all the verses. In verse 9 and 10, it's the true grace of God that saved your soul. It's on your handout. You can read them at home. In verse 18 and 19, it's the true grace of God that redeemed you. In verse 23, it's the true grace of God that stirs us up to be born again. In chapter 2, verse 9, it's the true grace of God that made you peculiar. In chapter 2, verse 24, it's the true grace of God that caused Christ to bear our sins. It's all grace. In chapter 3, verse 18, it's the true grace of God that led Christ to suffer and die, the just for the unjust. In chapter 3, verse 22, it's the true grace of God that exalted Christ over the powers of darkness. In chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it's the true grace of God that allows us to suffer, to have that great privilege. In chapter 5, verse 4 and 6, it's the true grace of God that exalts you in due time. And then chapter 5, verse 10, it's the true grace of God that keeps and preserves you. Another part of your handout, you see, it's not just Peter. In Ephesians, it's the true grace of God that saved you. In Corinthians, it's the true grace of God that lets you serve. In Romans, it's the true grace of God that sanctifies you. In Corinthians, it's the true grace of God that lets you sacrifice. In Colossians, it's the true grace of God that makes you sing in your heart, that gave you a song in your heart. It also gives you grace to speak. In Timothy, it's grace, the true grace of God that strengthens you. And in Corinthians, it's the true grace of God that gets you through suffering. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you for the true grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.